The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Luke 24:47. Should it read, for the forgiveness of sins, or and the forgiveness of sins? What is textual criticism, and how does it play a part in this question? This is Grace in Focus. We are so glad that you're with us today. We are a part of the Grace Evangelical Society, and our website is faithalone.org. Lots of information there for you. Hope you will go and take a look at it. And now for the discussion about repentance and forgiveness, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Welcome to another episode of Grace in Focus. This is Ken Yates, and I'm here with Bob Wilkin. And we've got all the questions are good ones, but this one I'm really looking forward to. It's found in Luke chapter 24. Verse 47, and Bob, why don't you read it for us?
Okay, it's from Terry, and Terry says, I have a question regarding Luke 24:47. Jesus is saying that repentance is necessary for the forgiveness of sins, and he has for in all caps, F-O-R, for the forgiveness of sins. He says, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. He says some versions stress the word for here, while some don't. And he says in verse 47, the word for, what does the original Greek text say, and how does it translate in that instance?
Well, this is a great question, and this deals with what is called textual criticism.
And what is textual? That's where we're criticizing the Bible?
There you go. We criticize it. Textual criticism is the science where we try to determine what is the original. What did Luke originally write in Luke 24, in this case, Luke 24:47?
Because there are some variations in the New Testament.
Exactly.
And this is one of the verses where there's a variation.
Right. We have a number of manuscripts, and some manuscripts say one thing here, and some manuscripts say another. And so how do we determine? Well, and let's just say that the manuscripts, some of them say repentance for the forgiveness of sins, but then others say repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And just as a mini Greek lesson, the word for and is kai. If you're going to translate it, K-A-I, mm-hmm. And the word for is ace, which is E-I-S. So the question is, did Luke write the repentance for the forgiveness of sins, ace, forgiveness of sins, or did he write repentance, chi, and forgiveness of sins? And
right.
That's the issue here.
Right, and I might mention there's approximately 6,000 manuscripts of the New Testament. But these 6,000 manuscripts vary from covering the entire New Testament to just covering, let's say, the Gospels, or just covering Paul's epistles, or in some cases, like the John Bodmer papyri, it's just part of one verse in John chapter 3. But most of the manuscripts will cover a whole book or books. So on any given book of the New Testament, you have anywhere from, say, 300 to a little over 1,000 manuscripts. And there's two different views of determining the original reading. One is called the majority text position. And it says that if we have 950 manuscripts that read one way, and we have three that read the other way, then the 950 is the correct reading.
And the part of the theory there is that the majority reflects what the original was.
Right.
I mean, that's part of the argument there.
Well, the theory is that God would preserve the text in
sure.
the majority of manuscripts. God was involved not only in inspiration, but in transmission.
Yeah, so if you find a reading that is in Italy and in Syria and in Egypt and
right.
and all over, but then you find another reading which may be just in one location, logic tells us that the original is reflected in what's spread out all over the place.
Right. Right. That's also part of it. And the other part of it is the date of the manuscripts. The majority text view isn't as concerned about the dates as it is about the number.
Right.
The what's called the critical text position, or the CT position, says there were three super manuscripts. They're called Aleph, A, and B. And they say these three manuscripts were all in North Africa. They were flawless. And basically, if two or three of them agree, that's the correct reading, even if there's 1,000 manuscripts against them.
Yes, and they would argue that generally speaking, those are the oldest manuscripts, Aleph, A, and B.
Right. They're right. 3rd, 4th century.
Right.
And the Byzantine, most of the manuscripts coming from the Majority text are from the Byzantine region, and they're anywhere from, say, the 7th century to the 16th century. Even after the invention of the printing press with Gutenberg, they were still hand-copying manuscripts. But the majority of the ones that you're looking at in the majority text are, say, from the 7th century to the 10th, 11th century. The question is, how well did they copy? The funny thing is, the Aleph A and B, there's over 3,000 differences among these three manuscripts.
And it's a very complicated science, too, when you get into this. For example, some of the papyri, you know, that are older, they agree with the majority text, even though they're older, right?
Right.
And they don't agree with the critical text manuscripts.
Well, what the critical people would say is if one of the super three manuscripts agrees with majority text and two have a different reading, you go with the two, even though you got one super manuscript on your side. But coming back to this, frankly, it doesn't make a huge difference, Terry, because it is true that there are a number of places in the New Testament where we see repentance linked with forgiveness, repentance for forgiveness.
But let me just say before we go on, just so we could summarize this, the majority text here says repentance and forgiveness of sins.
Which I believe is the correct reading.
Right. And the critical text has repentance for the forgiveness.
But look at Acts 2:38. I think you have the Greek text there. If you look at Acts 2:38, it's repent and let each of you be baptized for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, it's not clear, is the repentance linked with the reception of the Spirit and the baptism linked with the forgiveness of sins? Isn't that right, Ken? Isn't that ace there?
Yeah, it does say ace. It says repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Right.
So it could be both of those things are necessary for the forgiveness of sins.
The baptism, right.
Baptism and repentance.
Right.
Or it could be repentance for the reception, baptism for the forgiveness. But most likely it's saying both of those are necessary to receive both of the benefits. And this isn't the new birth because they're already born again. They've already believed.
In verse 37.
Yeah. So the result is that this is something that was required of Palestinian Jews who were guilty of crucifying Jesus. They had to repent and be baptized before they would be forgiven and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
There in Acts 2:38 you're talking about.
Right.
Right.
But one of the things I think Terry needs to understand, and you wrote an article on this. No, you did a video on this recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that it's a mistake to equate the forgiveness of sins with the new birth. Why is that?
Because the forgiveness of sins and the receiving of eternal life are not the same thing.
Okay, explain that.
Well, the forgiveness of sins deals with fellowship. When our sins are forgiven, we can have fellowship with God. And the reception of eternal life is the gift of God that is given to us at the moment of faith. Now, when we believe, we receive both of those things. But we also are told in the New Testament that we need the forgiveness of sins after we have eternal life if we're going to continue to have fellowship with the Lord. 1 John 1:9, for example.
So a person could be born again, eternally secure, and unforgiven.
Right, and need the forgiveness of sins.
Right?
Right.
That could be you, that could be me.
Sure.
And to equate forgiveness with the new birth is a mistake. We start the Christian life with a clean slate. That's Acts 10:43. Whoever believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. But that's different than saying that the forgiveness of sins is identical to regeneration.
Right.
In fact, it's confusing to people because if you tell people, if you believe in Jesus, he will forgive your sins, then they often don't grasp the fact that Jesus is promising life that never ends.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't in all of Christendom? If you ask any group, do you have forgiveness of sins in Jesus? They're going to say yes.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you asked a Mormon.
Right, but if you said, can you be unforgiven, they would say yes.
Right. And then they would say, like, if you ask someone, you know, I'll just use the Mormon, for example, have forgiveness of sins. Well, does that mean you have eternal life? They're going to say, well, no, we got to do good works in order to do that.
In order to keep the
in
life.
Order to keep
right. You know, the thing is, I'm not suggesting that God withdraws the forgiveness he's already given us. What I'm saying is, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as a believer, I need to walk in the light, 1 John 1:9, and confess the sins as the light reveals those sins to me so that I can have ongoing forgiveness and ongoing cleansing. Now, Terry, I hope that answers your question.
Well, I think, too, we can say this, that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be preached. Well, yeah, free grace people preach that. Eternal life is given by faith alone, but we also teach repentance, the importance of repentance. If a person is living a lifestyle of sin, they need to turn from that, but that doesn't give them eternal life. And we teach the forgiveness of sins, which is, when you become a believer, your sins are forgiven and you can have fellowship with God. But if you sin after that, you need to confess your sins. So we teach the forgiveness of sins. We teach repentance. But those are not requirements to receive eternal life.
That's right. And let me end, Ken, with one brief difference between repentance and confession. I recently did a video on this. You can go to our YouTube channel and look it up, YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. But what I suggested is that if you are walking in fellowship with God, you are walking in the light, and you become aware of sin, you confess your sin, and you remain in fellowship with God. It's not broken. You remain in fellowship with God. Repentance is for the forgiveness of sins for the person who is out of fellowship with God. That's like Luke chapter 15 and the prodigal son.
And the prodigal son is a picture of a believer.
He was a son before he left. He was a son when he was in the far country. He was a son when he returned. And so the point is, when we're away from the Lord, then we need to repent in order to receive the forgiveness of sins and get back in fellowship with God. But if we are in the light of God's word, we're in a solid Bible teaching church, we're walking in fellowship with God, then the condition is not repentance, it's confession.
Right.
1 John 1:9 doesn't even mention repentance. In fact, 1 John doesn't mention repentance. And 1 John is all about how to have fellowship with God.
And this is the kind of stuff that Jesus is telling the disciples in Luke 24 to teach.
Yeah.
These kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great question. We hope that helps. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next two episodes of Grace in Focus, we will talk about the Grace Evangelical Society's new online seminary. Don't miss it. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.